Tonight, we are going to hear the Haftorah message presented by Pastor Curtis.
Praise God. How are you today? You know, Mark and I and Karen went to Moab last week, and we preached fire. And those people were just getting on fire. So if it's okay with you, would you turn around and tell somebody, you look like the Holy Ghost in fire? Amen. Praise God. Yeah. Yes. Thanks, son. Well, praise God. You can be seated. I won't ask this question, but I'd like to ask you or tell you or beg you to read the Torah portion and the Haftarah, because there's so much in it. As we get into Jeremiah and Isaiah, and now, you know, the last couple of weeks, we've had a real strong admonishment from these prophets. And I find it fascinating that every time there's a great speech by a man of God, Israel wants to stone them. You know, like Caleb, when they came back from the spies from the land, Caleb gave the most passionate, on fire speech to try to get Israel excited, and they said, let's stone that guy. You know, so we lost people like Isaiah and Ezekiel, but Isaiah now is coming back to the fact that after you've gone through your double-mindedness and all your problems and all your lack of faith, you know, God is going to renew you, restore you. So we start out with, hopefully you're getting the Torah study, so you can see what the Torah portion is. Devarim, or Deuteronomy 3 through 7, Isaiah 40 is our Haftorah. And all of those New Testament scriptures, or Brit Hadashah, are designed to help you to see the power that's in the Torah. So they have a strong relationship. So Isaiah 40 starts out with comfort. Whenever God is talking to man, I want you to start realizing he's talking to you, because man represents us. God, man, Holy Spirit is all one. And so God is saying, Isaiah, it's time you comfort my people. Comfort my people, says your God, your Elohim. The voice of the one that cries in the wilderness, prepare you the way of Yahweh. You, and you, as God's witness, are as those who are being led by God, who hear God's voice, you make straight in the desert a highway, not a pathway, a highway for your Elohim. Isaiah talks about the highway that God's going to use to bring God's people back. Amen. We're all going to Israel, whether you know it or not. God says, and it's not for us to move, it's God's going to move us there. He's going to do things, but things are being prepared right now. As Andrea was praying, the power of the Holy Spirit is going to reveal the Messiah. And there's going to be a revival of Jews who are so hard-hearted. You think a Baptist was lightweight. And the hard heart is why we can't witness to Jews. It's got to come by Spirit. And when the Spirit hits, it's going to hit hard. And it's going to move. And there's going to have to be people in place who can share the wisdom of the Messiah. Why there's only one God. Why Messiah is God, the same as God. Why Messiah and the Spirit are one. Because right now they have a hard time believing that Messiah and God are two gods. And so therefore you Christians don't keep the word of God. But we know there's only one God, and we're going to have to share it with them, because the spiritual revelation of one God is amazing. Because how can there be one God when we know Jesus was on earth and the Holy Spirit was around for a long time, or came in Acts 2, whatever you believe, and then there's God. But the fact is, God can do anything he wants. God can be incarnate in a body and still be around the moons of Saturn and still be in your life. And so make straight the pathway in the desert, because there's a highway needed for the return of God's people. Every valley shall be exalted, every mountain and hill shall be made low. God is saying, you know, get the excavators out here. I'm driving this highway and there's a mountain. Make it low. It's a valley. Fill it up. We're going straight. We're going right into the kingdom of God. Amen. Every valley shall be exalted. Every mountain and hill shall be made low. And the crooked shall be made straight. Praise God. We don't have to drive through the mountains. We're going to just drive right through the middle of them. And the crooked made straight and the rough smooth. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. Praise God. And all flesh, woohoo, not some flesh, all flesh shall see it, for the mouth of Yahweh has spoken it. Yes. When God says it, it's done. Praise God. So after reading all that, these words of comfort are for those that fear Yahweh and return to His mindset. His mindset. Right now, we have grown up with a Hellenistic mindset, and God wants to have the mindset of Messiah, the Hebrew mindset, to understand the power and the glory of God. And right now, we have that upbringing, and I'm going to call it double-mindedness. So James says, being of double-minded man, unstable in all his ways, and not doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. As double-minded, we've got a lot of understanding in our life that we have to evaluate. We have to change. I was talking to Archie this week, and Archie said he felt like one of the biggest sins in the body of Messiah today is double-mindedness. As double-minded people, we can't really be led by God because we're led by so many different other things. James 4:8, draw near to God and He will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded people. Dipsochaos is the word there. It's in the Greek. And if you don't have a Greek, did I say something wrong? Dipsochaos, that word? Okay, well, if you double-minded, you're sort of a dip. And I want you to know that most of the New Testament was written in Hebrew. And we've got a lot of errors in the translation. And so if you get a chance, get yourself a Hebrew to a Greek dictionary. Because, like, you can look up this word and see where it was used or translated from the Hebrew. But anyway, it's about unstable, which comes from the Greek word meaning unsteady, wavering in his character and in his feelings. So the lack of fire is not having the faith in God, not understanding that everything in our life should be God's, should be a direction of God, should be a desire to serve God, should be one-minded to know the voice of God. Because Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. So if you don't know his voice, perhaps you're not his sheep. Perhaps it's time to get back on your face and to call upon God. Get your salvation corrected in fear and trembling, because God is calling his people. He's calling a body of Messiah. And these days, right now, it makes no sense for us to pray for Israel unless you have a relationship with God. When you get a hold of God and God hears your voice, because God said, they cried out to me, and I heard their voice. So how many of us are crying out to God? We're crying out for God's authority, for our freedom, for our understanding. When this COVID virus is coming so strong, where nations are requiring it for everything, when the airlines are going to be nationalized and taken over by the government, you won't be able to fly unless you get a vaccination. You won't be able to travel. There's so much right now that's in the wind, and we think, well, we don't mess with politics. We need to mess with politics. We need to be on fire for God, because this country is led by God's prayers, yes, by God's pastors, by God's people, by God's evangelists, and God's priests. And so right now, I don't know any priests. Do you? Yes. Oh, that was really weak. Do you know any priests?
Yes.
If you're a priest of God, say hallelujah, praise God, I'm on fire.
Hallelujah, praise God, and I'm on fire.
Amen, praise God. So Matthew 21, if you believe, you will receive whatever you ask for me in prayer. Prayer with a broken and contrite heart, with a hunger for God, a hunger for righteousness, a hunger to see God's will, a hunger. Right now, we're not really hungry. We're Americans. We're fat. We're lazy. We're okay. Praise God. I'm okay. You're okay. Blah, blah, blah. But the fact is, those that hunger for righteousness will see God's glory. And God's glory is ready to be revealed. And the whole world is going to see God's glory through you, through the man that God is talking to, Isaiah, and through you, God is talking to you. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Okay, self-centered motives. We have so much of our own motivation. I'm giving you some examples of double-mindedness. Do nothing out of selfish gain or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others over yourselves, not looking to your own self-interest, but each of you to the interest of others. The human heart defaults easily to manipulation and selfish intentions. I've got a glare, I can't see. Our selfish intentions, we've got to be careful. Right now, I don't mean to be critical, but a lot of churches have people in charge who are building up their ministry, their church, their message, and God wants us to shrink. God wants His Spirit lifted up. God wants His authority to be elevated in the body of Messiah. So it's not my desire that you're not double-minded. This is what God says. And when Archie comes out and says, the whole church is messed up with double-mindedness, then by golly, our church is not going to be involved with that. Amen. Our church is not going to be involved in double-mindedness. Could I hear some really loud cheers? Praise God. Oh, praise God. I'm so bored. Well, sermons are boring if you're boring, and the human heart defaults easily to manipulation and selfish intentions. Let me give you number three. I don't have much time, so I'm going through this really fast before somebody says, time's up. Our speech. Gracious words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. There is a way that appears right, but in the end it leads to death. Our words are very powerful. Our manipulation, our control, our desire to see my intent, my motives being gained, when in fact, everything I do should be to build up the body of Messiah. Amen. And I apologize that I am so fleshly. You know, like I say to the guys, hey, how come your wife's so good looking and you're so ugly? You know, I say that all the time, so forgive me if I've insulted you. Not that you didn't need it, but I've got to be more careful with my words, because we need to prophesy over each other and lift each other up. And Paul says, when we look at the offerings in Leviticus 5, Olah is to lift each other up. Minha is to give somebody the meal. And the third one, Shalom, Shalomim, is our desire to serve God and see God's peace. So every time we leave somebody, we should leave our peace with them. And the peace of God is with you. Praise God. Double-mindedness says one thing, but yet does another. And so number four, the company we keep or don't keep. Proverbs 13:20, he who walks with the wise will become wise. Do you get that? Why do we walk with stupid people when God says walk with wise? But the companion of fools will be destroyed. So you hang out with fools, what will happen? God says, hang out with all the fools you want, but you will be destroyed with them. Because Paul says, don't be misled. Bad company, and I add this, will always corrupt good character. And something, these are things to pass on to my children, and my children's children, and your children, and your children's children. Because look at the friends they have. If they're not serving God, if they're not finding friends to pray together and lift God up, then guess what? Bad company will always corrupt good character. And number five, disobedience. If you love me, keep my commandments. Sin and unclean are not the same. I just threw that in there. But But keeping his commandments, what are his commandments? Well, I don't know. When Jesus said, keep my Father's commandments, every Jew knew at that time that he was talking to, there's only one place to find the commandments of the Father, God, Elohim, Yahweh. Where at? In the Torah. And we need to speak Torah. We need to use the Torah for our families, our children. We need to raise them with fear and trembling to serve God instead of being cool. Oh, praise God, I'm cool. God doesn't want cool kids. He wants kids that fear God and are on fire for God, because fearing God is something that's not around today. Oh, we don't fear God. I was actually told by a pastor many years ago when I was a rebellious teenager, it says to fear God. I don't fear God. And the pastor says, oh, it doesn't mean that. Well, what does it mean? It says fear God. It's all over the place in the Bible. He says, oh, that's just reverence, respect. Well, I respect God, but I don't fear him. And so guess what? I continue to sin because I really never understood grace. Grace was there for me to get saved, but I kept on grace, having grace, and we call it greasy, groovy grace, because we took advantage of grace. And grace needs to be understood, that there is a grace to bring the deepest sinner to God, and God will forgive your past and love you. Praise God, that's grace. And now I'm accountable to walk in the Spirit. I'm accountable to God. I'm not accountable to grace. God gave me grace when he saved me for the 20th time or whatever. But the fact is, we need to understand how to keep his commandments. There's so many commandments in there. You know, all the do not do this, do not do that. But we also learn different understanding. We learn about tithing. We learn about taking our thoughts captive. We learn about lust and anger and bitterness. All these things we need to be in control of, because we've been given authority. We've been set free, not so we can fall into grace. We've been set free so we can serve God. Anybody here want to serve God? Okay, those of you that didn't say amen, would you come over on this side right now? Someday I'm going to be serious. Because we need to all be on fire for God. Number six, we don't do what he says. You foolish person, do you want evidence that your faith without deeds is useless? When we understand that God said it, we should buy it. God said it. We need to believe it. You know, I was in a Sunday church last week, and I was preaching. I really got into it. I was going like, you know, mile an hour, and I said something that I had to apologize for. I said, I don't keep the Sabbath because it's written. I keep it because God put it on my heart. And here all these people are Sunday keepers, and I'm thinking, oh my gosh. I just smacked them all in the face. And so I apologized to the pastor later. I don't know if he understood what I said, but we need to do what the Bible says. We need to do what God says. Praise God. Amen. Our priorities are lack of, I am Yahweh, and there is no other apart from me. There is no Elohim. So with that, the fear of God should be setting our priorities. We should be setting our priorities every day. We should get out of bed and know our priorities. Gee, what am I going to do today? I don't know. Well, let's do this. Oh, I don't know. Why don't you know? Because I'm double-minded. I'm going to get out of bed, and I'm going to serve God. I'm going to praise God. And whatever God brings my way, I'm going to walk in. Because God is calling his people to hear his voice. And we want to know one thing. If we all heard his voice, we would walk in that commitment. We've had so many people commit to this church and different ministries. And then all of a sudden, God changed his mind. And we've lost a lot of people that have made commitments. And I'm not trying to badmouth anything. I'm just simply saying, if you make a commitment, by golly, you better walk in it and keep it. When you tell your wife you're going to be there at a certain time, be there at a certain time. Keep your word, because your word is of God. My word is God's word. And I will walk in that commitment. Praise God. Impatience. Do not be quickly provoked in your spirit, for anger resides in the lap of fools. And anger is something that not just men, women have it too. You know, we can get really, you know, teed off or ticked off, you know, on the edge of anger. And God wrote the book on anger management. Because if we live in the Spirit of God, we'll take control over our anger, our management, our words, our reflex, you might call it. And God's calling his people to stand up and serve God. And if you're going to be God's people, look at somebody and say, if you're God's, then by golly, serve God. Praise God. Go ahead and choose somebody out. Serve God. By golly. Amen. Praise God. So anyway, those were the 8 points of double-mindedness. Without raising your hand, is anybody here double-minded? Besides me, you know.
We have a left side and right side.
That's right. And it's at war. And the double-mindedness is something we need to realize. That if we're double-minded, we're not serving God. And God wants us to be one mind. And guess what? It's his mind. And when Ezekiel talked about the new covenant, he said, I will put my heart in you so that your mind will be his. Yes. And God wants that. And so today is Sabbath, Shabbat, and God has a call on your life. And if you're not hearing God's voice, I recommend when Wendy finishes her sermon, spend some time. Come on down to the front row and spend some time with God. There's nothing greater. As I grew up seeing people and men pray, and men get a hold of God, and men weeping to God, because the voice of God causes our hearts to cry out to God. And right now, we should have a burden for America. We should have a burden for the body of Messiah. Oh, well, those Baptists, those Methodists. No, those people that are in the church that are called by God, they're his. And by golly, we need to pray for his so that his is on fire. I'm challenging you today, you know, to not be good people, but to be on fire people and to cry out for God and learn to intercede and learn to care. Anybody agree? Yes. Praise God. Well, after Wendy's done, I'd like to see men fill up these rows with knees on the ground. And I love praying on a chair because once I get down, I can get up. And if I fall down, hey, I can't get up. But I can crawl over to a chair and pray and thank God there's a chair. So thank you very much. Have a good day. And hope you get on fire.